Always a privilege to be back here at Grace. I was thinking, Pastor, I think this church has supported us since the beginning of our ministry. I think about 30 years. Someone correct me if I'm wrong, but always a treat to be back here and visit with you all. Before I go any further, I'll have Rebecca and come. We won't have time to answer any questions after our presentation. So if you have any questions this morning in Sunday school, it'd probably be the best time. Of course, we'll be at our display after the service. And if we can clarify anything, if there anything you'd like to understand better, we're here certainly to do that. To thank you all for your faithful support of our ministry down there in Brazil. We thank God always for you and understand that we could not be in Brazil preaching the gospel if it weren't for the faithfulness of this church and others who support us so that we can be about the business of preaching the gospel there. So we've come here today to thank you, to update you. We owe you an update on how your missionary dollars are being invested down there in the land of Brazil. And so we're here through the presentation. I think it'll give you a good idea. Before you leave today, don't forget to stop by our display and get a prayer card. We have refrigerator magnets as well. Sign up to get our updates directly if you'd like to do that. And we're certainly glad to be here. So come.
Well, it's good to be here today. A lot of connections. I don't know if were any of you here when Pastor Godfrey was the pastor, anybody? But he was my missions professor when I was a student at Ambassador. And I was here. I was in Benita, his daughter Benita's wedding here in the church too. And of course, Nick and Jennifer, I went to college with as well. But I was born in Charleston, West Virginia. And that's another connection because Nick is, well, I guess I should say Pastor Vance, sorry. he is from West Virginia as well, but I was blessed to have been born into a Christian home, and, you know, my earliest memories are being involved in our local church, helping out with the children's ministry, you know, being involved in the music. We were one of those families when the doors were open, we were there, and I'm very thankful for that heritage. But even though I grew up in a Christian home, I still had to come to the point where I understood that I needed a Savior. And so when I was 8 years old, my grandfather died. And that brought me face to face with the reality of death. And I realized that I was going to die someday. And so I talked to my mom, and she led me to the Lord in our home. Growing up, I loved meeting missionaries. You know, when missionaries would come, I loved talking with them and getting to know them. And reading missionary biographies was also a very important part of growing up. Often at birthdays and at Christmas, my mom would give me a biography as a gift. And so the lives of, you know, Jim and Elizabeth Elliott, the Amy Carmichael, Hudson Taylor, those people were my heroes. And I wanted to be like them. I wanted to serve the Lord like them. And so when I was 16 years old, I surrendered my life to serve the Lord. I didn't know exactly where that would be or what it would be, but I was definitely open to missions. And so the Lord led me to attend Ambassador Baptist College when it came time for college. And I graduated from there with a missions degree. A little side note, while I was a student there, a missionary named Nathan Bray came and preached in chapel. Do you remember him preaching in chapel? And his dad. And of course, I had no idea how the Lord would bring us together in the future. But in the years after college, I served the Lord in different ministries. I mostly in education. I taught school in a couple different Christian schools. And then I also did some secretarial work in a couple different ministries. I went back and got my master's degree. I also met Michelle when I was down in Greenville at Morningside Baptist Church. So a lot of connections here. But you know, in those years after college, my heart was for missions, and I went on as many missions trips as I could during that time. And then in the providence of God, Nathan contacted me last August, and we started talking about serving the Lord together. And I visited at Christmas time, and we were engaged. Last Christmas, it was actually on the 29th, so we just had the first anniversary of our engagement. But I'm just really thankful how the Lord has led. And then we got married August 5th. And just excited for the future and excited to serve the Lord.
Are there any questions for me this morning? Anything that you'd like to understand about our ministry there in Brazil? Anything at all? Okay. There aren't any questions. Open your Bibles with me, please, with me during this Sunday school hour in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. If you're there with me, part of that verse states, I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I like to spend the time that I have, invest the time that I have this morning in Sunday school, sharing a way in which all of you can play an important part in our ministry there in Brazil. You don't have to have any money. You don't have to have a Bible degree. You don't even have to leave your home. The comfortable, nice state of South Carolina, or wherever it is you might live, Landrum or Boiling Springs or Greenville. But you can each participate very significantly in our life and ministry down there in the land of Brazil. Of course, through prayer, right? It's a very important way, and I covet your prayers. I'm thankful for my name, right? It rhymes with pray, so I urge everyone to pray for the phrase, right? And it's an important way, and certainly I've felt the prayers of many, especially in my life over the last year. Went through some very difficult times over the last 18 months, and really have felt the power of many people. And I know people in this church were praying for our lives, praying for me, praying for Priscilla, and eventually for our marriage. And so it's a way in which I can testify directly of its importance and the important part that it's played in my life. And so I want to urge you, those of you who don't pray for us yet, I want to urge you, I'll not hide the purpose for my Sunday school lesson. I'll be quite blunt, and that is the fact that I need your prayers. It's something that I could desperately take advantage of. It's a resource that you could invest in my life. And so I'd like to spend my time this morning sharing with you ways in which you can pray for the fray, right? So this verse saying, I will pray with the Spirit and I will pray with the understanding also indicates that there's some value to God in praying when we pray for something to be specific, right? Otherwise, all we'd have to do, like some of us have done with our children growing up, you know, 4 or 5 year old doesn't understand. They don't have long prayer lists and they don't understand all the dynamics. And so all they do before they go to bed is kneel down by the side of their bed and say something like, Dear Lord, please bless everyone everywhere, right? Save everyone everywhere. Heal everyone that's sick. And they hop in bed and they go off to sleep. But this verse indicates the necessity, right, and the value of praying with the understanding. So God has an expectation of us that when we pray for a matter, that we pray with a certain understanding. We pray with a certain purpose, right? We pray with a certain comprehension about the subject matter that's at hand. In our case, it's praying for missions, right? So how can you pray? And this list wouldn't apply just to us specifically. It would apply to any missionary. And so I want to share with you 10 ways in which you can pray for us with the understanding, right? You can pray with us specifically. You can pray with us in a more purposeful way. And it's certainly something that I need and something that I would hope each one of you, if you maintain a prayer list, hopefully you have a regular devotional time, you spend some time in prayer with God each day, very important. So during that time, if you would remember to pray for our lives, and here are 10 ways in which you can be purposeful in your prayer for us. So number one is travel safety, right? Travel safety. We live in the largest city in South America. The greater São Paulo area has about 30 million people. It's several cities that have just kind of all fused together as they grew, and they kind of grew into each other. And so, as you can imagine, traffic can be difficult for us. The average person in my church down there in Brazil commutes an hour to work. That's common. That's a common, an hour each way. I know many people that commute an hour and a half to 2 hours. That is not an uncommon commute, 2 hours to work and 2 hours back. And I know people that commute as much as 2.5 or even 3 hours each way to work and never leave the city. They never leave the city of São Paulo. They live and work within the city. And depending on where they work, it can take up to 3 hours to get to work. The airport's on the north side of town. We live on the south side. On a very good day, it takes us an hour and a half to get to the airport. If there's any traffic at all or rain or any other complicating issue, it can take 2 hours or even longer to get to the airport. And that's never leaving town. That's crossing town to get to the airport. So traffic is a great challenge. Even while we're here on furlough, we do a lot of traveling early in the morning to get to our churches. It's our custom if the church is within 3 or 4 hours. And this year we've seen a tremendous amount of deer, right? That's when the deer, we travel home, usually in the evening after services, in dusk, 9, 10 o'clock at night. And so we have to do quite a bit of traveling. You know, you see accidents, you know, there's some close calls. And so while we're here, we'll visit 51 churches. And I think we're going to travel about 20,000 miles, Pastor, I think is what we travel on average. And often in rain, you know, snow, some difficult conditions. So if you would remember to pray for us, and if you would be specific, right, as you pray with the understanding, if you would remember that God would protect us as we travel about. Number two is the education of our children. This is something that can be very trying and difficult for missionaries. We're no different than you. We want the best possible education for our children. No parent wants a crummy education. And often as a missionary, when you're in some isolated places, your education options can be very, very limited. And I remember growing up, my parents struggling each year. There were four of us kids in the family. Struggling is to decide how to best educate us in the land of Brazil. I'm second generation, grew up in Brazil. And now as a parent myself, it's a struggle that I have each year trying to discern the best way to educate my daughter specifically in Brazil. So if you would, remember to pray for us. Growing up, I went to Brazilian public schools. I studied in Brazilian private schools. I was homeschooled for a little while. It was the very beginning of the homeschool movement. My mom tried her hand at it. We'd come home on furlough, and I ended up studying in American public schools and American Christian schools here. And so by the time it came time for college, my mom will tell you she was very concerned about how that patchwork of education would come together and if it would even, you know, be possible for me to complete my college education. So I did eventually graduate from BJ, and it turned out better. God was gracious, and it turned out better than I think she expected. But it's just something that every missionary struggles, how to best educate their children. So if you would pray that God would give me wisdom, right, as a parent, any missionary that you know that has children, school-age children, that God would give them wisdom and how to best educate their children. Number three is finances, always a struggle. Church planning, there just seems like there's always a church roof to put on or Bibles to buy or something that you're trying to do. And throughout my whole life, my parents, I remember, it was a constant prayer, a constant need, the finances that are needed to plant churches. Church planning is becoming expensive in the city of São Paulo. Buying land is becoming complicated and difficult. The cost of church planning has gone up exponentially over the last few years. Post-pandemic and looking into the future, churches in São Paulo can cost as much as $1 million to plant. And so it's becoming something that's becoming difficult and complex, is a, you know, difficult issue to tackle. So pray that God will provide the finances that we need. Just about every missionary, if they'll be honest, talk to just about any missionary. It's always a need. We always have projects and different things that we're trying to accomplish. Churches can drop you for any reason, right? We're faith-based. And so there's no contract with our churches, and churches can and often do drop you for you know, basically no reason at any time. And so, you know, your support guarantee is never 100%, even from one day to the next. So just finances, that God would provide the finances that we need as we preach the gospel in Brazil. Number four is culture shock. Culture shock and isolation are the number one reasons why missionaries don't last on the field. Absolutely. It won't be an issue for me or Priscilla in particular, but as you know, Rebecca will be moving to Brazil here in a few months, right? She has been to visit a couple times, but she's never lived down there as a missionary, and she will be going through great adjustments, and she would covet your prayers and need your prayers in the coming months as she learns to adapt to a completely new place. So any new missionary family that you know going to the field, praying that they would be able to overcome culture shock is absolutely critical, right? How to deal with the great changes. Some of the culture shock that she'll face in Brazil, you know, food, for example, in Brazil, they eat rice and beans for lunch and dinner, just about every meal. She's been before, so she knows a little bit how that is, and maybe in our home, especially she'll be doing the cooking, so she can control a little bit better. But as you can imagine, missionaries go into foreign countries, right? Most Americans don't realize that you're privileged. You live in a country with a very diverse food habits here, right? Most Americans couldn't imagine repeating something that you had for lunch and having the same thing at dinner. Or, you know, most of us want to have something very different. You know, breakfast is one thing and lunch is, you know, something different. Dinner, most of you probably don't even repeat the same meal within 2 or 3 days or even, you know, within the same week. Most of the rest of the world is very different. Most of the rest of the world is fed primarily by rice. There are many, many people today that will have rice for lunch and rice for dinner, maybe even rice for breakfast. And they'll have that tomorrow, and they'll have that the day after that, and the day after that. And that's basically what they'll have for all of their meals. And so if you, all of a sudden you're in a mission and you find yourself in a culture with a very restricted diet, and it might not be things that you particularly like, things that you particularly enjoy, you know, that can be something difficult to deal with. Climate's very different, right? In Brazil, all countries below the equator, the seasons are opposite. So it's hot at Christmas and cold in July. I remember my first Christmas in Brazil back as a missionary. It was 95 in my bedroom on Christmas Eve, Pastor. 95 in our bedroom on Christmas Eve. And so if you're used to a white Christmas and all the things that go along and the leaves changing and the weather getting cooler, and that you don't realize it, but all that kind of becomes part of your identity and kind of where you are in the universe. A lot of it, you know, changes. We like to see the changes and things that we associate with Thanksgiving and Christmas. America, I think, is the only country that celebrates Thanksgiving, and you might live in other countries where it's where you experience a tropical Christmas that might be quite different from what you're accustomed, and all these things can begin, you know, working on you as you try to adjust to culture. There are other aspects, for example, there are countries in the former Soviet Union where men, when they greet each other with a kiss on the lips, preacher. How about that? Thank you, Jesus, every day. And called a country where I had to come to church and give the guys a big smoochola when I came to church. Huh? That would be something that would be difficult for me to deal with. So, you begin to see, right, all these things. Food's different, climate's different. There can be a lot of social norms and etiquettes that are very different from what you're accustomed. And so all these things can start, you know, adding up and really making it difficult. And in my experience and observing many missionaries come to Brazil, and over my lifetime, I've seen many, many come to the field, and some stay a long time and some stay a very short time. I've seen missionaries last literally weeks on the field or months or even just a year or two. Culture shock is number one. That and the isolation are the number one reasons. We just as humans have a hard time with change and overcoming the changes that are necessary to forget your culture and your background and embrace a new culture that might have things that you're not accustomed to or things that you don't want can be very difficult. So especially in our case, pray for Rebecca Ann if she's going to go through culture shock here in a few months, and it'll be part of what she'll need to do as she adjusts to the mission field. Number five is learning the language, right? Language learning. Some languages can be very difficult. Chinese, Mandarin can be very difficult to learn. And really, we're discovering, right, over time that to be an effective missionary, you have to be a good communicator. There's just no way around it. Some missionaries try to use interpreters and with some limited success. But ultimately, missiology today is understanding the importance that if you're going to be an effective missionary and you're in a culture, you're in a country where they speak a different language, you're just going to have to take the time. There's no way around it. There are no shortcuts. You're going to have to take the time to learn that language. And that can be something very difficult. Rebecca will be going to language school for the first year of her life in ministry in Brazil. We're going to put a priority on her learning Portuguese. And so ask God to help her West Virginia tongue, right? It's an Alum Creeker. You've been to Alum Creek, preacher? You've been there? my little Alum Creeker is going to need to learn Portuguese. And so I ask that God would give her that grace. If you would, please, I covet your prayers. Learning language, critical. You're just not going to be effective. So travel safety, education of children, finances, always critical, culture shock. And it can take a lifetime. I mean, I know missionaries that spend their entire lives in a foreign country, just never certain aspects, right? Certain times would come around, and my mom would comment, she grew up out on the West Coast near mountains and was always around mountains, and it's something that she missed her whole life. There are no mountains in Brazil, certainly no snow-capped mountains, none in São Paulo. And so sometimes you can live an entire lifetime in a foreign culture, just never some things that you're always going to miss about back home. Language learning, number six is demonic oppression. In America today, I think even a lot of Christians kind of downplay or maybe even don't understand or don't really believe that demons do exist and they are active in the world today and they are among us. Don't believe me, go to D.C. I don't know, it might be a little more palpable up there to see. But certainly in Brazil, demonic oppression is something that we are a lot more exposed to. Right there, it's a lot more commonplace. There's a religion there called Spiritism, Espiritismo, and it's people who actively seek out demons and interact with them. It might sound strange to you, but there are few Brazilians that I know that would not state emphatically to you that demons exist and that they may have had some interaction personally. They all know people that do, and very few Brazilians would doubt, in the very least, saved or unsaved, it doesn't matter, but very few Brazilians would even want to argue the point that demons don't exist. They're thoroughly convinced because many of them, if not almost all of them, have seen the direct result. People who are demon-possessed or they've gone to services. And so Espiritismo, they don't have traditional church buildings like you're used to. They will use homes within almost every neighborhood in every city of Brazil. There's some home that's dedicated towards Spiritism. And people who lead these kind of things will become demon possessed. They're incorporate. Typically, they have their services on Friday night, late Friday night. They play some kind of African like tunes. A lot of Spiritism came over through the slaves at that time, and people will literally become demon possessed, and then people then have an opportunity to interact with these demons, and there's some benefit to be had from that. Otherwise, people, wouldn't be involved with this. But demonic oppression in my context, in my reality, is just a lot more palpable, right? It's a lot more concrete. It's a lot more visible. It's a lot more, a lot more real for us. I'll be out visiting sometimes in the neighborhood and walk by a home that just has a strange feeling about it, and then find out later that that's the spirit of center in my neighborhood. Right? Just kind of a coldness. It's a strange thing. I've met many people who are demon possessed. And so for us, demonic oppression is very real. And we're going into areas where Satan has reigned freely for generations, where few, if any, have ever come in preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he obviously is unhappy with our presence and works actively against us. And so pray that God would literally protect us from demonic oppression. It's something that I need you to do, because for us, it's just a lot more real. It's a lot more palpable. It's a lot more present in our everyday life. And I'd like to beg you that God will protect us from demonic oppression. Travel safety, education of our children, finances, culture shock, language learning, demonic oppression, specific material needs. Most missionaries in the world today don't have access to a Walmart, believe it or not. I'm going to amaze many of you. There's no Chick-fil-A in Brazil, and I know some of you, it would be a very difficult thing to live in a context where there's no Chick-fil-A. But pretty much as soon as you leave the United States, you're going to start feeling the absence of certain things. And Most of you don't think anything of it. You know, you go down to your local big box store and buy whatever you enjoy, by the caseload full, and don't think anything of it. So there's no peanut butter in Brazil, right? There's no Barbasol shaving cream. Let's see, what are some of the things that they don't have there? No, there's no Mountain Dew in Brazil. There's no root beer in Brazil, for example. And so all of a sudden there's some little things that to you are, you don't even really, you know, think much about it. You take them for granted. If all of a sudden you were in a place where you couldn't get some of these small little creature comforts, it might be something that would be difficult for you. I would like to take a pause at this point and encourage you to adopt a missionary family. I think there's great value raising your kids. I know the church supports a lot of missionaries, but, you know, maybe take it a step beyond. It might be a missionary that's a family. Family member, it might be a missionary that you went to school with, or it might be a missionary that came through and just for some reason you had a special connection. But to, as a family, follow that missionary, read their letters carefully, correspond with that missionary, right? Have that missionary in your home when they're coming through, maybe even visit that missionary on the mission field. And I just, you know, there's just great value in adopting as a family, adopting one specific missionary family and establishing a special connection with that family will bring benefits to your life, you know, and to your family. It certainly will to that missionary. And one thing you can do is around Christmas, write that missionary and ask them if there's a little care package you could put together. It doesn't have to be anything big or elaborate or expensive, but ask them if you could send them an item or two. Growing up as an MK, this happened to us, and I think back fondly to some wonderful things that we received. It can be a great way to encourage a missionary who's feeling alone. At Christmas time, most missionaries are isolated from their family. Many of you traveled to be with family. We didn't. You know, I certainly did it this Christmas. And you enjoy spending Thanksgiving with family and Christmas, and you go to the birthdays, and you know, you go to the weddings. But most missionaries are isolated from their families and don't have contact like that until they're home on furlough. Certainly was the case for us growing up. And so receiving a nice little package from home, ask them some of the things that they would like to receive that they can't get, and you might get a very strange list back and think this is very odd. For example, I'd ask for pencils with erasers, right? Number two, pencils you cannot get. Who would make a pencil, Pastor, and not put in an eraser, right? A little tiny. Well, believe it or not, the rest of the world hasn't woke up yet to the benefits of erasered pencils, at least not in Brazil. And so I'm going to ask you for some pencils with erasers. I'm going to ask you for some Barbasol shaving cream because I can't get it down there. Certainly going to ask you for some peanut butter. And you're going to look at the list and say, good grief, you know, I can get this anywhere. Why are they asking me for these things? Because they can't get them where they are. And it's just a nice little treat. It's just a nice little, you know, some nice little creature comforts. It can be a way you can be a blessing as a family. Go to the store, purchase a few little things, put them in a little package, send it about 2 months in advance, right? Okay, don't send it a week before Christmas because they might get it next Christmas. I don't know. So you'll have to do some forward thinking. I'd say send it 6 weeks ahead of Christmas. Write them, ask them, you know, some things that they would like to get that they can't get near them. Something our family likes, especially my parents, my mom liked root beer, and that we couldn't get root beer in Brazil. So one year family wrote us, and she said, you know, I don't know if there's any way, but I'd sure like some root beer. Well, it turns out, you can do a little research yourself these days, but you can buy root beer extract, right? They'll send you some small little tiny bottles with careful instructions on how to make homemade root beer. And that's what we got one year. We got several tiny little bottles and some instructions on how to make root beer. My mom was very excited. Back then, they sold soft drinks in Brazil in 1 liter glass bottles. You remember that, Pastor? You? No, Pat, only you only remember plastic. You know what I'm talking about? Does that ring? You do? See, he's sort of youngish, man, but barely remember. Caught the end of the glass bottle era. That back then, a soda came in 1 liter glass bottles. My mom sent us out to borrow glass bottles from neighbors. We had some, and that day was Christmas Day. I'll never forget it. She recruited the whole family, and she's like, "We're gonna make some homemade root beer today, right? We're not even gonna wait for Christmas to be over." And after we had opened our presents and eaten our meal and put everything away, we all went to work making homemade root beer. here in São Paulo, Brazil, to please mom. And we worked hard, and at the end, I think we had almost 20 one-liter glass bottles. They were in Pepsi. I don't know if that, you know, if that, you know, if you can even do that, but we did. We hijacked the Coke and Pepsi bottles to make homemade Brazilian root beer, maybe the first batch that had ever been brewed in Brazil. And we lined that up in the garage of our house overnight. And I was so excited as a little boy, I think about 5 years old. I woke up the next morning and wanted to go inspect our brand new made root beer. And I opened the garage door, and our garage was awash in root beer. We hadn't read the instructions right. Almost all the bottles burst, and our garage was flooded with homemade root beer. I think there were one or two bottles left, and mom quickly grabbed those, stuck them in the refrigerator. And that year, only mom got to drink root beer in our family. The rest of us, our root beer was washed out in the garage. So it just gives you an idea, right, of some of the things that go on. And so do, you know, write your adopted missionary, see what you can do, and help try to provide some little specific material need. It might be even, you know, a ministry need. I don't know. But you could be a blessing certainly to them through that. Number eight is health. Pray for health. Probably every missionary I know, you know, stress, you're eating different, climate's different, but you're going to be, you know, affected health-wise. We are beginning to see a lot of diseases show up in São Paulo that formerly had been relegated to the Amazon. We're starting to see malaria show up, which we're very far south. We'd never seen that before. In recent years, we are beginning to see cases of malaria in the city of São Paulo. Dengue, chikungunya, there are half dozen other very serious, these are some very, very, very serious diseases, mosquito-borne diseases that had previously, you know, tropical areas only, are now moving, you know, marching their way south. And so just pray for our health, right? Pray for Rebecca's health, Priscilla's health, and my health as we seek to continue preaching the gospel there in the land of Brazil. This is something that can have a serious impact on a missionary's effectiveness, is how their health, mental health, physical health, emotional health, spiritual health, right? I covet your prayers in all of these areas and beg that when you think of us, ask that God will keep us healthy in all these areas as we seek to minister in the land of Brazil. Number nine, I'd like to ask you for something that Paul asks his churches. You can open your Bible in Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. In those verses, Paul asks for open door, right? Colossians 4, 2, and 3 says the following. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, wherewithal praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I'm also in bonds. I've completed 4 churches. We'll be working on our 5th. So you could begin praying with us. I'm not exactly sure where the 5th church is going to be, but that God would even now begin to prepare the hearts of the people in that area, begin to prepare the hearts on the street of the church that we're going to plant that church, and open hearts and open doors. That's what Paul's doing. He's writing and supporting churches ahead of a missions trip that he's getting ready to take. And he's asking the people in those churches to pray for open doors. And I'll do the same. We'll be heading back to Brazil in July, continuing ministry down there. And I covet that when you pray for us, that you would pray for open doors ahead of us, even before we return to Brazil, even today, that God will begin to prepare hearts and lives of the people that we'll go minister to, that we'll go preach the gospel to there in the city of São Paulo, in the land of Brazil. And you can pray with us. You can be a part of this important task of praying ahead of our ministry down there, that God would open doors of ministry for us. And finally, of course, Matthew chapter 9, verse 38 talks about more labor, right? There are, you know, São Paulo is almost 200 100 million inhabitants. We are seeing a mission field, a whitened harvest that's greater than ever. And sadly, ever fewer missionaries showing up for missionary work. And so pray that God would send forth the laborers that are needed to work in the whitened harvest of the mission field. And I will make that my 10th prayer request today. Travel safety, education of children, finances, culture shock, language learning, demonic oppression, specific material needs, health, open doors, and finally, more laborers. When you pray for the phrase, if you would think of some of these, if not all of these areas each and every time, you will be a blessing to us. And I thank you very much for your prayers. Dear Lord, I come now and ask that you would work in hearts. Lord, I beg that all those here at Grace would remember to pray for the phrase and would be specific, Lord, as your word commands us to be, to pray with the understanding also, with a certain amount of knowledge about the subject, a certain specificity as they bow their head and pray for our life and ministry. And so I ask, Lord, that you would provide prayer warriors for us this morning. I'd be able to recruit some in this church body that would remember us regularly as we go out into the land of Brazil and there preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful for this church and the important part it plays in our life and ministry. I ask a blessing in this place. Lord, do great things in this church. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray all these things this morning. Amen.